of 17th. We also raised the ceiling heights on the first floor of the center two buildings by a foot to increase the viability that over time, if there is an evolution and more demand for commercial, that these buildings could evolve and, you know, uses could transition from residential to commercial. And then we had more of a stoop look in some of the earlier ideas, and we went to the docks to create, again, that flexibility over time, and that relates similarly to the experience on 13th. One of the conditions, as noted, was to make those stoops or the docks continuous so that you could move up and down those spaces. And then the dock has the added benefit of raising the first floor for residential above what is a very busy street and creating some separation on the front side. On the Riverscape side, there's an 18-inch separation. It's a much less busy street, and so a more residential solution was there. We heard a bit about design style today. Again, these are very quickly. You can see the pink is the docks. The orange are the lowered spaces. The green are potentially future live-work type locations. And this is the Riverscape aspect. We talked a bit about the design style. This was a significant part of the discussion. We went through a lot of different design styles and a lot of different material selections. I think at the end, the quality of the materials that are specified for this project are very high quality. This is not going to look like a suburban style product. These are urban buildings with urban materials. Also want to talk about the balconies concept. We really made a conscious decision that as renters, space is a premium. You pay for every square foot you get. And we thought, given the climate, given the site, that indoor space is more of a priority for people than balconies, that it will be more useful for them and more beneficial for them to have indoor space. Frankly, as a manager, our company manages nearly 5,000 units nationwide. Our property management people fight an endless war against the junk on the balcony condition. And so there is another added benefit of indoor space over balconies.
Do the windows open?
The windows do open, yes. The buildings LEED Gold, so that's a significant part of the project.
Would the balconies count towards the FAR?
I don't know the answer to that question.
I'll ask staff. No, I'm telling my team no.
I wanted to very quickly talk about parking, and then I'll turn to Steve. I know that's not an issue on appeal and not an issue. The DRC made a strong point that it's not an issue that they could consider. We do understand those concerns, and that's why we designed the project with nearly one space per unit. Parking garages are not cheap. The most expensive portion of the project is probably our garage. We think it's not only a benefit to the neighborhood that we have nearly one-to-one parking, but it's an amenity for us and for future residents. We think it's one of the main marketing tools that we'll have is to be able to offer parking. We also know that you can't build your way out of a parking problem in an urban situation, that we need to build density so that transit will come, so that opportunities for multimodal will come. I'll talk very quickly on the river. I want to mainly turn that over to Steve. We think that the enhanced open spaces do serve dual purpose, and I'll let Steve take a moment on that.
My name is Steve Shapiro. I'm with Shapiro Didway Landscape Architecture. We were responsible for the design of both open spaces. The goal for the project was to promote circulation from NATO Parkway to the existing walkways on to the river, maintain and embrace the views to the river from NATO, and also to provide a pleasing space for residents and visitors passing through the site. Given the nature of the site that it's public, we have promoted seating areas. It's very garden-esque. There's lots and lots of native plantings incorporated within the site. We are planning public art that is going to embrace the river theme of the site. And all in all, we tried to create an invigorating, warm space for the residents and the public.
Two questions, if I could. Did the park spaces help you with any of your stormwater runoff? Have you incorporated that into those, or is it completely separate?
That is completely separate. It's not being used for that.
Okay, and this is probably more a legal question for your council, but is this a public right-of-way? I mean, are we getting an easement, or how does it work on something like this?
What happened, Commissioner, is at the time of platting, back when obviously the first step in the process when the streets were created and the right-of-ways were created, my understanding is that those are public access easements. Kurt could confirm. I think they're probably 40 feet, I hope, 46 feet wide, and they run all the way from front to the River Esplanade. So those are public access easements created in addition to the north-south streets, much like you would a street, frankly. And the public, and what you're going to go to probably is, I think, the neighbors raised, or not today, but in a letter, who maintains those is the next question. And the way it happens here, those are public access easements that, again, afford the public a full right of access, not just residents, but public generally. My guess is the HOA maintains them on the condominium side within their geography and will be required to do the O&M and the maintenance, construction and O&M for the walkways, the parks that Steve just spoke to, within that access easement.
Right, because it's your real estate and it's an easement. It's not dedicated park space.
Do we have to clarify that in anything we do that you have the obligation to maintain?
No, it's explicit in the existing plat documents and existing title documents.
And this would be open to the public 24/7.
Seems to be the requirement of the easement. Yes,
that's often lots of development in this area that we see. There's a plaza, but it has a fence around it, and it's for the residents. This is a public right of way that'll be available to the public at all times.
And as you know, Commissioner Lee's right that will be governed by the terms of the easement. But the easements that I've seen have no restrictions, so they're 24/7 by default unless they're constrained.
That's our understanding, that it's 24/7. Now, if somebody's out there, playing tuba at 2 a.m., we may ask them to move along so our residents can sleep. But, beyond that, we understand the access to be public.
Let me put it this way. If that's a condition that you felt necessary to impose, we'd take it.
I have some questions just on design issues that got raised in the appeal and that relate to the criteria and that seem to sort of be indicated by what I see in the renderings, and that is, are there indeed balconies that overlook the plaza space? Yep. Back to the view you just had there. There we go.
There are balconies on the upper left-hand corner. Yes.
There are balconies on the ends of the buildings that overlook the public spaces. Yeah. Or overlook the easements, I should say.
This is Robert Lee again. We have quite a few balconies, actually. The only place we really don't is in the incised point of this building on this side. But we have balconies on the ends, and most of the units do have balconies or terraces on the ground floor.
And that's true on the east side as
well? Yeah, absolutely. It's true on the east side. And the only units that really don't are some of the very small units. But typically, I would say about 75% of the units have balconies.
Okay, and then what I'm seeing in the upper left-hand corner of the upper left-hand image in the slide you have up there on the ground floor, is that a balcony space for an apartment? Is that an entrance to the building? What is that?
That's a terrace for two apartments.
That's their equivalent of the balcony on the upper floor. Okay.
That upper left-hand one?
Yeah, yeah, I'm looking at this, that space right there. I think you've commented on this quite a bit already, but one sensitivity that I have, I suspect it's shared here, is that there's been a remarkable propensity in this country, not maybe so much here because we've tended to do a better job of designing privately managed public spaces that don't work. It's amazing how many empty landscaped places there are. Even here, there are a few here. So I think a lot of us that are trying to make both development and public space work are very sensitive to the question of, will this design actually cause people to want to be there? And then we try to get at that with criteria that say, you know, orient windows and entrances and balconies, you know, to surrounding points of interest and activity, which is why I raised that question. So this site, this space will have supervision, it sounds like. The units look down on that space. So that gives me some hope. Develop transition areas, you know, where private development directly abuts a dedicated public open space. So it sounds like, again, you have the opportunity for people who live in these buildings to get out into that space, not just by coming around the end of the building from the entrance, but in the case of the residents on the ground floor, directly, right?
This is Lino. Yes, on the ground floor units that have terrace space would be able to access the park.
Okay. Okay, I think that answers. I mean, that because the question got raised: who will use these public spaces? So your intent is to design them for community use and resident use, keep them public easements, and the way you've furnished that space is intended to create areas for seating and. So you might want to put that design slide back up again, just for the sake of
this one. Or. Sorry, I'm
you know,
not sure.
You know, it's interesting. As I listen, Mayor, I was trying to think of a 100-foot-wide, because I can think of numerous examples of smaller, and frankly, most of them in the Pearl, some in South Wateratorium.
Yeah, there's some South Waterfront spaces.
They're narrow. I don't know the scale. I have to think about it, 30, 40 feet, whatever. But they are intimidating to the passerby if you're not a resident, especially when the buildings are 6 or 7 or 8 stories.
Right.
My guess, and Steve would be the one to answer this much more as a designer of the space, my guess is that there were two reasons to widen it by the commission. One was to that funnel effect, which creates a broad portal that narrows down to the existing 40-foot one further east. The second is, my guess is, the bigger the space, the more inviting it is to a non-resident.
That's the intent. In developing the design, we tried to make the gateway to each space gracious and inviting and clear in the sense that you could see the adjoining walkway and the river. For example, there aren't trees in the middle of each of those spaces. Mm. The views have been maintained as being open.
Well, I actually, as I look at the design, I think you've created an inviting space, and I'm guessing from the picture we have here that it's also well lit. So you've got
it would be yes,
and there seem to be lots of modern lampposts throughout it, so it's
correct.
Well lit at night for people.
And as Lee mentioned, we also had a 3-foot elevation difference between the east and west sides of each park. That necessitated ramps as well as stairs.
I'm interested in the design of the two public spaces. The one to the west, it's got one straight through path, but then it's also got a curved path. What are you thinking would happen differently in those two? Who would use those differently?
That would be the more northern open space, and that has the broader, more direct passageway connector. It is going to be modified slightly by request by the commission that it accommodate informal event spaces. So we may widen it.
But I'm not clear why you've got a straight pavement and a curved pavement in the same on the left.
Oh, the curve is a ramp.
Because there's an elevation change?
Good, because of the 3-foot difference that I was describing below. There's stairs. It's hard to see in the rendering.
I see.
Stairs on the left there.
Accessible access.
Yeah.
It still seems pretty wide. If the one on the right of that one on the picture on the left, the straight path is the one with stairs, then it's not going to be accommodating wheelchairs side by side or bikes. They're going to go down the curved, right?
Correct.
So why does it need to be that wide? Because it looks like there's a lot of pavement rather than green.
I think we were trying to reflect the open space between the Pacifica and the townhomes as well, which is a similar width and similar openness.
Say that again.
Well,
we were reflecting the open space to the riverside.
And we also have a sewer easement within that space, so we tried to keep the pavement off of that space.
Yeah, my comment is that there's a lot of pavement in that particular green space. I'm wondering if there could be more vegetation and less. That's one question I have about the green spaces. The other
we were requested to have more pavement.
By the commission?
By the commission.
Okay.
Why?
For event space.
Yeah. So they're programming these two differently. One of them's more green space and quiet. And
correct.
The other one's more public.
What kind of events would you have in a linear space like that?
The apartment may have opening. I'm not really sure, but
just
that's
what they asked you, right?
That's what we were requesting.
Gotcha.
Well, we do think that there are opportunities. I mean, we do have a roof deck, which is relatively small, 1,500 square feet, where, you know, I think is probably a more private space for events. But I don't think there's anything that precludes events from occurring in that space. You know, I think there's enough openness. In fact, the courtyard on the south side, they asked us to reduce the amount of planting in there because they didn't feel that it was conducive enough to events. So I think there's, you know, having a bit more openness, a bit more space allows somebody to come in and do something special for an event.
It reminds me of the PSU Plaza by the streetcar line where it's just a lot of pavement. And so I'm concerned about that. But my other question is about the one on the right-hand side. Why isn't there a straight path to invite people to go through there rather than to sit there to get and to make sure that you've got the alignment to see the river?
The idea was to create a more interesting space that was kind of like a garden room for residents and also promote circulation through it.
I think I concur with the appellants on that piece. It looks more like a private space because of the configuration. And then my third question is about the street. I guess it's 17th. It doesn't look like there are street trees on there. Is that correct? There's no planter strip?
There are street trees.
So this...
It's not shown in the rendering.
Okay. And how deep are the terraces that were shown with plantings in one of the photographs? The outdoor space for the ground floor units?
Sorry, I'm not sure I understand the question.
Oh, you're talking about
going back to the
upper left-hand corner slide there. You're talking about that.
I mean, how deep?
Well, on the Front Avenue side, you had shown, when you saw that we saw a rendering of the Front Avenue side, and there were a bunch of little courtyard areas in front of them.
I'm sorry.
Yeah,
these.
Those ones. How big are those planters or areas?
They're approximately, I think, 4 feet.
No, there's about 7 feet.
Seven.
And that's facing east.
Yes, it's facing Riverscape.
West. Oh, I'm sorry. This is on the
Riverscape side.
Riverscape's got side. Okay. Okay, got it. Yeah, and those. And could you show, please, the ground floor uses scheme again? Okay. So on the Front Avenue side, the management office, which side of the building is that on?
Is on the north side of 17th.
Okay, I get it. Okay.
I have one last question, Mayor, for the attorney. The bonus for the art, we keep saying 1%. Why is it 1% and not 2%? Oh, because we bumped our percent for the art to 2%, and I don't know whether that's
my immediate answer is I think, Commissioner, the code still says 1%. This is the reason we use it, but
so the council, I guess, in 2000 and well, yeah, it must have been about 2004, 2006, bumped it to 2% for the art. That's off our public projects.
Yeah,
but are you saying our code is still lags and is just a 1%? And Tim, was that is that an oversight or is that intentional?
Probably hasn't caught up yet.
But it's the as long as you tell me it's the code that I'll,
code
I'll stop
is,
there.
Current code but is 1%.
Why don't we come back and revisit that? Because I'm not sure. I'd just like to better understand why it's inconsistent.
You mean for this project or for the code?
No, just why the code has 2% for one and 1% for
well,
one.
If there was ever a time to revisit the code, now's the time, because you're in the middle of Central City Plan update.
Yes, we are.
And on the 1% for the art in this project, how is the art selected?
Selected.
We've worked with the Regional Arts Commission. They are managing the art selection process. So we have worked with them to select a group of about 10 to 12 different artists that we are currently going out to with the project scope and saying, are you interested? Is this a scope that you can meet the timelines and the budget for? Based on that, we'll narrow the group to 3 or 4. We'll interview them, and then the Regional Arts Commission will also approve that selection.
And so it sounds like you're contemplating some kind of sculptural elements in the public plazas.
Exactly. And, in fact, the approval allows for a 10% modification of the public spaces in order to accommodate the future art.
Okay.
Further questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Are there any people signed up to support the opponents of the appeal?
No one else signed up.
Okay. And then give the opportunity for the appellants to come back up for any rebuttal.
No, I guess I just wanted to comment briefly on...
John Bradley.
John Bradley, 2350 Northwest Johnson. You know, I just wanted to comment briefly on the role of the Design Commission here. And I'd like to make two quick comments. First of all, you know, there's no question they spent a tremendous amount of time on this. There were 3 very, very long meetings. You know, but I think that reflects 2 things here. First, their commitment to the importance of this area in terms of the whole river district. And second, you have to figure out where this project started from. And if you go back and you look at the original drawings, there's been quite a bit of improvement. I'd just like to reemphasize that I still don't think we're there yet and that this is an unfinished project. You know, the other thing is we're left to interpret whether how each individual design commissioner felt when they came up against the wall and they realized that this was going to be the last meeting. And so you're left to interpret what are my options. My options are I either kill this project or give it the go-ahead. I would like to suggest that they'd already spent so much time and effort that the tendency would be to say, it's okay, we'll pass it this time. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, time for council discussion and motions.
I'm prepared to make a motion, Mayor.
Okay, proceed.
I'd like to make a motion to uphold the approval and deny the appeal.
Is there a second?
Second.
Further discussion before we...
One comment I'd like to make by way of discussion, Mayor. I think the last testimony we had was directly on point for me, because as I look at the original proposal and how it evolved to the third proposal, I think there has been just substantial improvement in the massing of the building, the positioning, the public spaces, the materials on the exterior, the colors. And I don't feel at this point the need to add an additional condition as the public plaza, because I think the record is clear from the testimony that there is a public easement and this is intended to be open. So I don't feel the need to burden the conditions with another one since it's now officially on the record.
Okay, thank you.
I have a question for staff.
Come on up, Mark.
But can you tell me more about what the discussion of the Design Commission of other conditions that they were looking at?
Sure.
And particularly in general and also in relation to the points I raised about the plazas.
Sure. It was 4-2 vote. The 2 commissioners who withheld had real similar concerns, mostly related to the orientation and design and location of the commercial space. They were talking about getting the commercial spaces more oriented to the plazas, getting more commercial spaces. The remainder of the points were, for the most part, that I have in my notes, encapsulated in the conditions. They didn't like the shingle siding that got changed out. They wanted the one open space, the boxier square space that has the two internal planters, to lose one of the two internal planters to have a sort of bigger gathering plaza space. Mostly it was about the commercial space, its design and its placement and its orientation. The other commissioners had pointed out during the deliberations, and it, as I think as a strict code reading, it's true, is that there's no requirement for the commercial, and the guidelines speak to orienting your building and your space to the pedestrian environment in various ways, whether it's residential or commercial. So I think there were two commissioners who felt they could, the commercial space could be improved, but I think it was a minority opinion. That doesn't mean they don't usually like to make specific design related suggestions. They raise issues and then the applicant will go away. So, but from the final deliberation I heard, most of the specific objections raised were addressed and captured by the conditions of approval. The two commissioners who voted no actually crafted the majority of the conditions.
Thank you. And how about the plaza design? You said one, is it the plaza on the right that they wanted to get rid of that center planter?
Yeah, that's one of the conditions, that get rid of one of the two center planters. They didn't specify which, but one of the two, to have more hardscape, more gathering space.
In the right one.
Mm-hmm.
That's condition J there, yeah.
Yeah.
So would that also allow and or require a straight shot through that one?
It didn't necessarily require that the two entry paths be moved. So it was just asking for one of the two internal raised planters to come out. There is already a condition of approval for allowing 10% change in the design and location of the planted areas for the public art. And I mean, I'm just throwing this out, but if I get a nod up and down from Lee and Robert as a friendly amendment, if they were willing to align those, I don't know if they're willing to do that. No, I'm looking at Lee. I'm seeing a nod, so.
I thought it was sore, no.
I mean, I'm doing the building permit, so I can make sure that happens if I see them nod and you're suggesting
okay.
It.
I think we saw two arms raised, a head one way, but a sure uttered from the mouth. I think that's a yes.
So, Commissioner Fraser, you'd be willing to accept a friendly amendment that there be an alignment in the right-hand plaza so that it's clear that people are welcome to go through and get to the other public space to get to the river.
And is that the...
We might keep that off the record to avoid having to return with revised findings. Just as a staff suggestion, I can give you my word okay. as the permit reviewer, and there's the hand again.
Given it that fine grain of...
Because we already have a condition allowing that, basically.
Yeah. If Commissioner Fritz, if that's acceptable to you with that caveat, I accept it as a friendly amendment.
Thank you. As the commissioner in charge of BDS now, I think I can make sure that...
Call me later.
I'll call you later.
There you go.
Won't be interfering, but I will be looking for that to be done, and I appreciate everybody's good work.
Any further discussion? Then thank you, Mark, and we'll take a roll call on the motion, and we're not modifying the decision, so advice of counsel about timeline.
So there would be a question as to whether to make a tentative vote or a final vote, and oftentimes we'll leave it to the applicant to determine whether they want to supplement the findings or whether staff believes the findings need to be supplemented in some way for the final decision. So I think I would ask the applicant to let us know whether they want to.
Any reason for the council to not take a final vote, in your opinion, versus a tentative one?
You know, as much as I would like that, I would suggest instead that you take a tentative vote and return in 3 weeks, which gives us time to prepare some specific findings, which I think, frankly, it's good to have findings that respond directly to the issues that were presented and your response to those. And I know the timeline is such that if I have those to Lindley within a week and she has another week and then we get them to you in a week in advance, that puts us very quickly to the 3rd of July. That's what we would prefer.
Is that okay with the maker and seconder of the motion?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Preferable.
Let's proceed. Roll call.
Fish?
Well, I can't help but think today that whoever owns and operates the Dockside restaurant is extremely happy with this outcome. Because they're going to be doubling their customer base at this location. But thank you for an outstanding hearing. The testimony on all sides, the discussion and the thoughtfulness. And as I look at the handout that we got showing the evolution of this project, it's quite startling to me how it went from an original to the third and final proposal incorporating community suggestions. And that's how this process is supposed to work. I believe at this stage our role is to be like a referee to make sure that it has been a fair and honest process and open to ask all the questions that we have of the applicant and the appellant. I think we've made a good record. I appreciate, as always, the thoughtfulness of the neighborhood's position and the testimony of people who are here. And based on the conditions in the record in this conversation, I support the motion and I vote aye.
Saltzman.
Well, I feel that, I guess I have great deference. I don't consider myself a design professional by any stretch. So I feel a great deference to the work of our Design Review Commission on this project and on a lot of projects. We don't get very many design review appeals before us. So I don't feel I have any, I haven't heard any testimony today that persuades me that this project hasn't, in fact, through three hearings, come in a positive direction and that it's time to follow the support of the Design Review Commission and approve this project. Aye.
Elvick?
I also very much appreciate the work of the Design Review Commission, and I'm glad that we as a city have a process like this that results in a buildingscape that that makes this a more beautiful city, and I'm pleased about aye.
Fritz.
I appreciate the Northwest District Association bringing this appeal and raising these issues because to a certain extent I think it does show that perhaps our design guidelines are not as strong as they need to be, particularly with relation to the river. And many of the concerns raised appeared warranted. However, then there's the issue of the buildings in between this new development and the river not being able to allow for many of the views and the orientation. I agree that it's somewhat these buildings could be in any place in the city to a certain extent. I think that the proposal did make, there were significant changes made in response to your participation at the hearings and the Design Commission's intervention, the wider plazas and the amendments that we, that's not an amendment, but the understanding that we just got to about the connection to the river is particularly important. It's challenging. I don't think we are referees. I think we're the replay booth upstairs deciding whether the referee made the initial call correctly and we get to overturn it if we feel that way. And I state that in preparation for our hearing tomorrow, which, as Mr. Pfeiffer pointed out, really is a decision about do we rather than did they make the right decision. That's a different process. But I appreciate being on the council. Thank my staff in the Bureau of Development Services and in Transportation and elsewhere. Obviously, a lot of work has gone into this project, and I, both as a citizen advocate sitting where John and Gustav and Tavo and others have sat, and as a city commissioner, I appreciate the work of the staff in making sure that everybody's concerns are heard and considered. I do thank the Design Commission for their work. A lot of work has gone into trying to get the best project. And Mr. Pfeiffer, I appreciate your offering to come back with revised findings potentially and also the extension of the timeline. Because I think when it comes down to it, when you have good developers, nobody wants a rush job that doesn't get to the right outcome. So with those comments in mind, I vote aye.
Hales.
Well, these are really important decisions, whether they're made by staff or the Design Commission or here, even if it's on only an occasional basis, because buildings last for hundreds of years and street grids last for thousands sometimes. So it's really important that we get this stuff right as a community, and that's what this whole process is designed to do. And I agree with the comments here that This project has been approved by the pressure from the community in the design review process, both by the neighbors themselves and by the neighborhood association. And I appreciate that good work. I agree with Commissioner Fritz, actually, that our role is more than a referee in these cases. We do owe the Design Commission some deference for their work and for their expertise, but we're also the final arbiters of the shape of the city and on what happens in neighborhoods. And then finally, this is a neighborhood. It's already a neighborhood. People live there. They like living there, and they want this to work from a neighborhood standpoint. And I actually, one of the reasons I questioned the team pretty closely is I want to make sure that this project is a good neighbor. I think this process has helped assure that that can happen, and that it's been designed with a careful eye to the context of the buildings, the homes of the people that already live there. So I think this project, as has been said, has been approved by this project, by this process, and I don't see really any substantial opening for the council today to substitute our judgment in ways that would make a material difference. So for all those reasons, I'm going to vote aye. We've denied the appeal. We'll return for findings in 3 weeks.
So could we designate a time certain? Is there a time certain available on the 3rd?
Yes, so the morning, if the morning's okay, would be 9:30.
Okay,
that's where it will be. Thank you all very much. And we're in recess till tomorrow at 2 p.m.
I think there's already one person out on the 3rd.